God of all creation, you reach out to call people of all nations to your kingdom. As you gather disciples from near and far, count us also among those who boldly confess your Son, Jesus Christ, as Lord. Amen. Please be seated now for the reading.
The first reading is a reading from the prophet Isaiah, the 58th chapter. If you remove the yoke from among you, the pointing of the finger, the speaking of evil, if you offer your food to the hungry and satisfy the needs of the afflicted, then your light shall rise in the darkness and your gloom be like the noonday. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your needs in parched places and make your bones strong. And you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters never fail. Your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations. You shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to live in. If you refrain from trampling the Sabbath, from pursuing your own interests on my holy day, if you call the Sabbath a delight and the holy day of the Lord honorable, if you honor it, not going your own ways, serving your own interests, or pursuing your own affairs, then you shall take delight in the Lord, and I will make you ride upon the heights of the earth. I will feed you with the heritage of your ancestor Jacob, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken, the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray Psalm 103 responsively. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is written within me. Bless his holy name.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits.
He forgives all your sins and heals all your infirmities.
He redeems your life from the grave and crowns you with mercy and loving kindness.
He satisfies you with good things, and your mouth is renewed like an eagle's.
The Lord executes righteousness and judgment of all your brethren.
He made his ways known to Moses and his works to the children of Israel.
The Lord is full of compassion and mercy, slow to anger and great kindness. Glory to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
The second reading is a reading from the letter to the Hebrews, the 12th chapter. You have not come to something that can be touched, a blazing fire and darkness and a gloom and a tempest, and the sound of a trumpet and a voice whose words made the hearers beg that not another word be spoken to them, for they could not endure the order that was given. If even on touch the mountain, it shall be stoned to death. Indeed, so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, I tremble with fear. But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable angels in festal gathering, and to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word from the blood of Abel. See that you do not refuse the one who is speaking, for if they did not escape when they refused the one who warned them on earth, how much less will we escape if we reject the one who warns from heaven? All that time the voice shook the earth, but now he has promised. Yes, once more, I will shake not only the earth, but also the heaven. This phrase, yet once more, indicates the removal of what is shaken, that is, created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us give thanks, by which we offer to God an acceptable worship with reverence and awe. For indeed, our God is a consuming fire. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 13th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Now Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and just then there appeared a woman with a spirit that had crippled her for 18 years. She was bent over and was quite unable to stand up straight. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, "Woman, you are set free from your ailment." When he laid his hands on her, immediately she stood up straight and began praising God. But the leader of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had cured on the Sabbath, kept saying to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be cured, and not on the Sabbath day." But the Lord answered him and said, "You hypocrites, does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his camel from the manger and lead it away to give it water? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound for 18 long years, be set free from this bondage on the Sabbath day?" When he said this, all his opponents were put to shame, and the entire crowd was rejoicing at all the wonderful things that he was doing. The Gospel of the Lord.
The leader of the synagogue was indignant because Jesus had cured on the Sabbath. Why did Jesus do that? That woman that Jesus cured had been ill or crippled for 18 long years. Luke mentions that number 2 different times in that short passage, making sure that we know how long this woman had been sick. 18 years. Couldn't he have waited a few more hours until the sun had set? Why did he heal her on the Sabbath and cause all that conflict that he knew was going to result from doing this so-called work on the Sabbath day? Robert Capon has written a book on this very topic, and he asks, why in God's good name can't Jesus wait out the afternoon and cure her without flying in the face of the Torah? Why can't he sit with her until sunset and use that time to fix the woman's mind on the graciousness of God? Why can't they search the scriptures together and set the stage so that the healing would be seen in all of its unquestionable rightness? What's the point of this unnecessary muddying of the water? Capon comes to the conclusion that if Jesus had waited until sundown, this miraculous miracle would have supported all of the people's expectations of a victorious, majestic Messiah, one who, in the words of Robert Capon, the Messiah is coming to punch out the enemies of the Lord in the nose.
But Jesus constantly announces the coming of the kingdom in words and in deeds that run counter to the people's expectations of the Messiah and of the kingdom. He comes from Galilee, the city that no prophet comes from. He speaks with the Samaritan and a woman at that, something that no upstanding Jewish man would do. He eats with tax collectors and sinners. He's accused of being a glutton and a drunkard. He directly confronts their understanding of the Sabbath laws. And all of this gets him nailed to a cross as an accused criminal. This is the Messiah. But we want to see Jesus through the lens of our own understanding. We want to see what we think the Savior should look like. We want Jesus to be the kind of Savior we want, to give rules and demands that punch our enemies in the nose, that punch in the nose those people who don't act like we do, who don't do what we think they should be doing. But Jesus wants us to see him as he really is. He wants us to know him in truth in order to really see Jesus as he is. Everything is turned upside down. We have to let go of our expectations of how things should be and open our eyes and see the truth of how things really are in God's kingdom. In Jesus Christ, we are set free from the legalism, the bondage of our own expectations. We are free to see the truth in Jesus, to see the liberty and the freedom that Jesus truly is. Generally, when people are stuck in a system or a particular way of looking at something, they need to be shocked out of the old into the new. You know, Jesus could have spent all day arguing with the synagogue officials about the rightness and the legality, the wrongness and the rules about curing this woman on the Sabbath day. And in the meantime, she would have still been bent over. She would have still been crippled. She would still have been in pain. Jesus has this discussion, this argument with the synagogue officials after the healing takes place. That Sabbath cure shocked the people out of their old understanding and freed them to see Jesus in a new way. Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath. Jesus is the lover of humanity, the one who will not stand for anyone to be bound by Satan. Let me tell you about Ivel. I first met Ivel in the early 1970s when I went to work in a congregation as the youth director and director of Christian education. Ivel had been, in his younger, healthier years, very active in the church, teacher of Sunday school, participant on all kinds of committees and such. But when I met him, he was quite unable to do anything. Ivel had some kind of crippling disease. I think what the woman in our scripture story suffered from is the disease that Ivel had. He was completely bent over. He was stooped over totally, that all he could see was his shoes. He could not look into the eyes of his wife or his children. He couldn't watch his grandchildren play. He had been, in earlier years, a coach in a high school or in a college. And when I met him, he was still able in some fashion to type. And he was a sports writer for the local newspaper, and had a daily column in the newspaper writing about sports that he used to be able to do. And one day Ivel told me, when I asked, how do you keep your spirits up? How do you keep going when life is so physically painful and so constricting, not being able to do or see or or to move around. And he said, the only thing that keeps me going is my faith. He said, you see, I see myself as Jesus sees me. I'm 5'11". I'm throwing a football to my grandson, and I'm turning my head up to look at the plane that goes by. I see myself as Jesus sees me, with my arms raised in praise of God and my head thrown back with hallelujahs on my lips. He saw himself as Jesus saw him and was able to live in spite of that, in spite of being tied and bound by that spirit that kept him crippled and bent over. When Jesus meets this woman in the gospel story, we see her as Ivel is, bent over, crippled, completely unable to stand up. And when Jesus leaves her, she is like Ivel imagines himself in Jesus' eye, standing upright, raised arms, praising God in the midst of the entire community. When Jesus first met her, she was crippled and bound by a spirit of Satan. I think a lot of people like this miracle story, the story of the woman bent over, the story of this healing. I think we like it because we can relate to it, because we too are bent over. We too are held bound, just as this woman was. We too, like her, no one really important, just another person going to worship God on the Sabbath, just another person carrying a heavy burden. She was a woman oppressed. Maybe we could say that she was oppressed by a social system that did not value her, a system that saw her as a woman of little or no importance at all. For 18 years, she had been afflicted by a spirit that crippled her and wore her down. She was oppressed, not only by a system that sees her as not important, but by a system of expectations and demands that she simply couldn't live up to. Perhaps she is burdened by the fact that she was forced to carry the responsibilities for another dependent person. Perhaps she carried the burden of a child who had made wrong choices, or the burden of a husband who abused her, or the burden of a mother who expected her to care for her, or the burden of a father who criticized her every move, or the burden of friends who loved her only when she did exactly what they wanted her to do, or the burden of a society that expected her to keep her private concerns and burdens private. Crippled, bent over, quite unable to stand up straight, this woman comes to the synagogue to worship God, the God who set Israel free, who released them from bondage and led them into the promised land. Perhaps this woman went to the synagogue to pray to that God that she too would be released from bondage and led to her promised land. That same God that gave freedom to the slaves in Egypt might give her freedom. This woman is us. We too are bent over and crippled and held bound by an evil spirit. Perhaps it's a spirit of self-doubt. Maybe a spirit that convinced this woman that she had no strength, no ability, no purpose, even though she was a daughter of Abraham, one of God's chosen people. Perhaps that spirit of doubt was a spirit that plagued her. Maybe that's the spirit that holds you bound. What is it? What is the spirit, the evil spirit, that binds you, that keeps you bound and crippled? What is the evil spirit that keeps you from standing upright and looking eye to eye with the Lord? That Lord Jesus, who wants you to be healthy and holy, to be whole. What habits or addictions have such a grasp on you that you are quite unable to live the life that you really want to live? What fears and anxieties keep your heart from being at peace, the peace that Jesus Christ came to give to the world? What resentments and feelings of revenge have you so bound that you are completely bent over with the burdens? What anxieties and worries keep you only staring at the ground instead of looking up? Imagine this lady's surprise when Jesus called her over. She was, for years, overlooked. She was quite able to be missed in a crowd, as small as she was, bent over in the corner. And Jesus calls her over. What words he says to her must have rung in her ears for the rest of her life. "Woman, you are set free from your ailment." Woman, you are set free. That's good news for us. We are the ones that need to be set free. This word of Jesus Christ, this word of freedom, is addressed to you and to me. The touch of Jesus' hand is upon us. No longer do we need to be looking only at the ground. We are free to look up, to give praise and glory to God. We are free to look up and give praise and glory to God, not only for our own freedom, but for the freedom and healing and wholeness in others. About 5 years ago, there was a movie called At First Sight. I don't know if any of you saw that movie. It was a story of based on a true story of a couple who lived in Georgia. The man had been, at some time in his early years of life, when he was 2 or 3 years old, had some illness that made a progression, a fast progression, of losing his eyesight. And he was totally blind by the time he was 8 or 9 years old. And he had gone through his whole life being blind. In his mid-40s, there was a new development, and he had cataract surgery in some way. He had been misdiagnosed, and they had done this surgery when he was in his mid-40s, and he regained his sight. The story in the movie that interests me so much, the thing that really caught me, was how difficult it was for this man to relearn, or to learn for the first time, how to see. Everything that he saw was so confusing to him. It took him so much effort, and it was so much work for him to figure out what he was seeing, because he had gone through his whole life not being able to see. And now, all of a sudden, all of this information, it was too much for him. His wife would come in and find him sitting in the dark. And he said, "It's easier this way." And in the end, he said, "I would rather be blind. It's too much work. It's too difficult. It's too confusing to live in the light." Is that true for us too? Jesus sets us free from our bondage and calls us into his own marvelous light. Every Sunday we pray together that we would be freed from the bondage of sin. We pray that Jesus would forgive us, renew us, and lead us so that we may delight in his will and walk in his way. In baptism, we have been given this freedom. We are freed from all bondage, from that evil spirit. We are freed to live as children of God, to live as his precious children. But we step back into the shackles. We step back into slavery. We step back because it's easier being blind. It's easier being slaves. We can place the blame then on someone other than ourselves for our sad and addictive lives, for our selfish and sinful ways, for our bent over and crippled existence. It's easier being blind. We want Jesus to be our Savior, but on our terms. We want freedom, but not the responsibility that goes with it. We want the gift, but we don't want the response. But Jesus says to us, as he says to that bent over woman, you are freed from your ailment. And immediately, she stood up straight and began praising God. In baptism, we have been freed, and we have been invited to stand up straight and praise God. We are released from all bondage except that bond that links us to Jesus Christ in freedom and love. Through Jesus, we have received forgiveness. One definition I heard of forgiveness is that one no longer has to let the past determine the present. Forgiveness is that we do not have to let the past determine the present. It's being released from the bondage to past mistakes. It's forgiving those who have sinned against us. And we are freed from bondage of resentment and the feelings of revenge. By forgiving ourselves, we are freed from that need of continually beating ourselves up for stupid choices and bad action. Forgiveness brings release from bondage and freedom to live as we really are, the precious children of God. To live as a 5'11" man standing up straight, throwing a football to his grandchildren, raising his head to look at the plane overhead. To see ourselves as Jesus sees us. In baptism, we are given that gift. Jesus said to the bent over woman, you are set free from your ailment. And immediately she stood up straight and began praising God. Thanks be to God that we too have been released from our ailments, set free from any bondage. Let us stand and praise God. Let us stand and sing together. Number 507.